We're back at it. We're talking car care on 830WCCO on this Saturday morning. Denny Long here, along with ASE-certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Happy Halloween, in case maybe I'm one of the first to wish you that. You guys are open.
We're getting close.
Yeah, and you guys, no tricks, no treats. Well, I don't know. Maybe you will. In fact, I think I'm due to come in there on Tuesday morning, by golly.
I did see you on the schedule, so we're looking forward to it. Maybe you'll bring some treats for the boys.
I was just going to say I'll have to bring some treats, no doubt. Yes, yes, indeed, and I'll do that. Speaking of, I wasn't speaking of family, but let's do that. I got a call this past week. My granddaughter, who attends St. Thomas, not too far from you guys at Lloyd's, and said her vehicle stopped. It just wouldn't go anymore. And I thought, I wonder how often she maintains that correctly. But, of course, I think my whole family goes to Lloyd's Automotive. They know good stuff. But the point is, I wanted to bring up, evidently what you guys, your crews, found, that there is a radiator issue. And that's something, you know, we don't, when you and I talk on these Saturday mornings, we don't hear a lot about radiators. Is that... Is that a relatively common problem with you, you know, on your crews when customers come in? I never hear about that.
You know, it seems like, and I agree, like we used to do radiator hoses every couple of years, and with the advancements or enhancements of vehicles, we just don't see the same types of problems. Doesn't mean you can neglect those areas, but... You know, we don't, you know, coolant has gotten so much better that, you know, it's every 100,000 miles, it's every 30,000 miles. The hoses don't swell up because they don't get contaminated like they used to. And even like with the radiator, you know, maintenance oftentimes, or lack of maintenance can create problems, but not always. So I don't want to say she wasn't doing what she's supposed to be doing, but, you know, those parts, any part, you know, it's a mechanical item can fail.
Now, are radiators different? I mean, are there more plastic parts than compared to, you know, the years and years ago? What material are they made out of?
Well, if you're far enough back, you know, they were brass, you know, and you used to be able to solder to repair them. Well, now, for the most part, or actually, I should say all of them, typically it's a plastic tank. You know, the sides of the tops of the tanks are plastic, but the core is still aluminum because it has to transfer the heat. So it still has, you know, it's a radiator, so it's supposed to dissipate heat, and that's what the aluminum core does, and then the plastic tanks, which allows to circulate the coolant. Most often when we have a problem with the radiator, it's where those parts come together, those seals, with our extreme temperatures, those seals will deteriorate and create a leak.
All right. Well, I'm glad she knew who to call. I mean, besides me, Lloyd's Automotive.
I'm glad you knew who to call.
Yes, exactly. If you have any kind of a issue with your car, your truck, your van, Nick is here to help you. He'll do a little analysis over the radio before you bring your vehicle in for service at your favorite dealer or your favorite shop. It's always good to be armed with information. More is better than less. So call Nick or text Nick, whichever is easier, with your car, any kind of a car care question you may have. But don't wait. Nick leaves us about 7:45 this morning. So if you have a question, by all means, call us in, call us, or text us, 651-461-9226. Here's an interesting question that came in earlier, Nick. Mark said, great show. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you listening. As far as maintenance, Nick says, Mark says, could Nick explain here's something to chew on. The advantages and disadvantages of an electric car versus gas.
Well, you don't have to go to the gas station. However, it takes longer to refill. You know, that technology is making its way. We talk about it a lot. It's in the news a lot. And it'll happen. You know, it's a process. Maybe not as fast as some folks want and not long enough for others, but it's a technology that's out there. I'm a big fan of, like, the plug-in hybrid. I think if you can plug your vehicle into a 110 outlet, which we already all have, charge it overnight. If you have a short commute for work, you can make it to work. If you want to head up to the lake place or, for a long weekend, charge it overnight. If you have a short commute for work, you can make it to work. If you want to head up to the lake place or, for a long weekend, you have that hybrid capacity, so you get that long range. You don't have to worry about trying to find a place to charge it. That's just my opinion, but you know, the electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles aren't very different. You know, obviously it's technology that will advance with time, and you know, we'll be ready for it. I'm excited about it. Anything that's different and new always kind of gets me excited. So I wouldn't worry. I would just kind of enjoy the process, and when they become more mainstay, they will, and we'll be ready for it.
And there's going to be a lot of internal combustion engines still around for many years to come. So you'll be working on those old vehicles for a while here, I think. I know we're going to have to take a break here momentarily. Let's grab another one here. 2013 Toyota. I'm reading a text. Toyota Camry Hybrid. Speaking of hybrids, it's a 2013. 106,000 miles on it. Can you tell me how many miles or years drive batteries typically last? Another electric question. I was looking at the cost of some of the replacement of these electric car batteries. Oh, my goodness. Expensive. But how long do usually the hybrid batteries last? Have you ever heard?
Well, we do. We replace them. You know, I think, and not every case, you know, there's a range here. It probably depends on your driving style, where the vehicle's parked and how it's maintained. Like everything, you know, how long is a refrigerator or a furnace or all these things going to last? But how well do you take care of it? But typically, I would say and some of the hybrid batteries, it gets a dozen years, 15 years, we start replacing them. They can be costly, several thousand dollars. I know the electric car stuff, which is much newer, is much more expensive, but with time and enhancements and technology, prices tend to come down as things advance. So I don't want to get people too held up about, you know, buying an electric car, buying a hybrid, and worrying about replacing the battery. They're very reliable. You know, there's a lot of hybrids on the road. And like I said, we do replace batteries from time to time, and it can be costly. But I would anticipate a 15-year life cycle, my opinion, in our world, that region we live in, seems pretty typical.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good length of time. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. You can use that number to call in or text in. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO, 29 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back at it with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician right there at Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, for those folks outside of my granddaughter who knows where you're located, folks that need your help, how do we find you at Lloyd's?
Yeah, we're, as you know very well, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. It's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. So if you're ever in the neighborhood, swing by, say hi. If you ever have a question, need some advice, please feel free to call 651-228-1316. And finally, I'd appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226, for any kind of a car care question you may have. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Pete calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Thanks, Pete. What is your question for Nick?
Thank you, Denny. Say, Nick, my wife's got a 7-year-old Town and Country wagon, Chrysler van. It's got 120,000 miles on it, so I called the dealer that we bought it through, and their plan was to simply drop the plug on the pan and drain, you know, those 3 or 4 quarts, put the plug back in and top it off. And I said, you don't flush them? And he said, no, I wouldn't recommend it. Apparently. And I remember Paul Brand, if you remember Paul Brand, you see Car Talk on a different station. He said that sometimes you can disturb things by flushing them. Do you have any opinions on that matter? If you think that it would be all right to just refresh it by dropping the plug and topping it off, or do you think that a person should go through the whole procedure?
So there's, depending on the transmission, 3 ways you can service them: a drain and fill, as they're recommending, a flush, which is where you hook up some piece of equipment that'll exchange all the fluid. And then the final option, in some cases, you can remove the pan, place the filter, which oftentimes is a screen, reinstall and refill. I will tell you, it's very common now in later model vehicles that we do a drain and fill. And I think it's a fine service. The interval is a little more often because obviously you're not exchanging all the fluid. It's, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 quarts of fluid, and the capacity could be from 8 to 12. So you're maybe getting a third to half the fluid out, but it's deemed sufficient. I personally have never had any experience where we've created a problem by doing a flush. However, I've heard horror stories happen. So I can't say this situation you're at risk or not at risk. You know, if the dealership is recommending a certain service, you know, the manufacturer's done the research, I would follow what the manufacturer recommends, the interval they recommend, and I think you'll be just fine.
All right, good. Thank you, Pete, for the question. This listener sent a text to Nick, says, can you comment about car batteries? I am pricing batteries and I'm told it is a 3-year battery. Is there such a thing as a 5-year battery?
So there are different warranties and different quality batteries. As we talk oftentimes, Denny, price is typically a reflection of quality. I will say that the batteries that we sell are a 5-year battery. I will say that the demand on the battery is more now than ever with all the electronics and modules in the vehicle. I will also share that there's a couple makes and models where we honestly replace batteries in 3 years, which does seem normal, but it's become normal. But there's other vehicles, other types, maybe go 6-7 years. So the battery game has changed. We live in Minnesota. We go from sub-zero. We can reach 100 degrees. Spending those extra few dollars on a higher quality battery does make a difference, does give you that long life cycle, less likely to have a problem with the dead of winter. So they're expensive. You know, with the inflation we've had in the last year or two, batteries are one of those areas that prices have really skyrocketed, and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So my advice is you get a good quality battery that will give you the longest life and the least amount of problems.
Absolutely. I know you guys there at Lloyd's sell some really good ones, too. I've had some great experience with those in multiple cars. Nick, here's another text that says they have a 2010 RAV4. The technician said, I may want to replace a rear axle that's leaking a little. Texter said, I'd like to know how soon should I replace it. It costs about $600. Millie says, do you think I could wait on that? How dangerous is this, I guess they want to know.
So, you know, a drive axle on rear, I'm guessing that maybe there's a little grease leaking from the boot. That's not concerning. The other piece that you need to look at is as cars age, we get more corrosion, a little more rust underneath. They need to carefully assess the condition of the suspension components that need to come apart to replace that axle. If that stuff has gotten quite crusty and rusty, it may not be worth the efforts to try to replace an axle where a boot's leaking a little bit. Now, if that boot is ruptured and all the grease is left that axle, well, at that point, it's a different conversation, and then you just have to be prepared for maybe a $600 job, or they get into it and they come to find that there's going to be more problems and the price could go up. So I would maybe follow up, ask the current condition, the timeline, and you can get a few more years or miles out of it before you have to go down that road.
Okay. Texter wants to know, do you replace shock absorbers these days a lot?
We absolutely do, and if you want to make your car ride new again, the two things, in my opinion, is the fresh set of tires and shocks and struts. It's one of those things that we don't really notice deteriorating because it's a very slow process over years. But I'm putting, you know, my truck's 10 years old, and I'm replacing the shocks on my truck this fall because the ride has just gotten really, really lumpy. So I'm like, you know, fresh set of shocks, and it's new again, so I don't have to look at my new truck soon. But I would say absolutely. When they're in the fall or the spring, they can see how they bounce or how they joust. They can look to see if there's any fluid leaking from them. But it's one of those things that really makes a world of difference because you just don't see it deteriorating on you.
Yeah, interesting question. All right, Nick, we're going to take a quick break, have a look at that CCO forecast, and we'll have a few more minutes of the show. Nick will take his leave about 7:45. Here is our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. On this Saturday morning, 28th of October, weather straight ahead here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. As usual, Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions for a few more minutes this morning. And we have some for you, Nick. Let's see. This texter says, my TPMS light, you can explain what that is, comes on occasionally. Sometimes when the tires are cold, sometimes when the tires are warm. Usually, the light goes off the next drive. The problem seemed to start after filling low tires with air. Got a good little water in one tire from condensation in the airline. What should I do, texter says, about that?
Well, this time of the year, we see a lot of TPMS, which is the tire pressure monitoring system that all cars are equipped with. It's important because we just don't remember to check our tire pressures anymore. So having that system in place to make sure the tires are inflated is very important. If the light is on and then you have to drive a bit, it seems to go out, likely because the tire pressures are just on the cusp of the setting to flip the light on. So as the temperatures cool, the pressures will adjust just slightly. It's only a couple pounds. And we'll see that light coming on. After you drive, tires heat up, the pressure increases, and light goes out. So I would tell this texter or anyone listening, you know, next time you're in for service fall, make sure they top off those tires. You know, we joke about summer and winter air, but there is a little bit of truth to it, where in the winter, the pressure will adjust a little bit and drop, and sometimes you get a finicky system going. So a couple pounds of pressure in each tire make a world of difference and make that light stay up.
Okay. A listener says, what is the recommended lowest percentage before a person gets their oil changed on a newer vehicle? Percentage, is that just something that comes up on the dash in form of a percent, or what are they asking about it?
So some manufacturers will use a percentage to kind of give you a heads up that you're getting close to that interval. Sometimes it depends on driving conditions and habits. My opinion still stands true based on what we see every day on a good synthetic oil change, which is pretty much every newer vehicle, 5,000 miles. I know there's some manufacturers that will tell you a little bit longer or differently, and, you know, it's your vehicle. Follow the advice that you want. But we see enough mechanical issues from the lack of oil changes that can be very costly. So I think the 5,000-mile interval, a couple of things, it's fresh, good oil and filter on the vehicle. And with our roads and our climate, we get a good look underneath to make sure things are still in good working order.
I remember a vehicle I had several years ago. You guys kind of educated me, as you usually do. I looked all over for it, and I couldn't. It did not have a dipstick. I thought, oh, I don't like this at all. I mean, and there are some vehicles, right, that don't have dipsticks to check the oil.
Absolutely true. There's more as technology evolves and cars get more capable. The cars are going to know more tire pressures, oil levels. It just like, you know, we have a gas gauge. But I'm like you. I kind of like to have the dipstick this every so often. I can see with my own two eyes that we're good. And, you know, the oil's clean. How does it look? You know, just a little more touch feel is my approach. But the world has changed, and it's fine. You know, those things work just fine. We see them every day, and we fill oil. We adjust those and reset systems, and they work just as well.
Yeah, I guess if you change the oil regularly, you know, you're good on maintenance. Why not? Texter says, let's see, do we have time? Yes, we do. I bought a used Toyota, Texter says. Battery could be 4 to 5 years old. I had the battery checked. The volts are 10.12. Does 10.12 say my car's battery is still good?
Well, that is a a load test. You know, when you put a load on the battery, that voltage goes down and the reading of the amperage would come up. At a standstill or a state or a static test where you just put a voltmeter on a battery, a fully charged battery is over 12.6 volts. And that's, you need to know that, just a little information. But when we test the battery, you want to see around that, you know, over 10 volts and a couple hundred amps would be sufficient. You know, you can look at the condition, the visual inspection of the battery, if it's starting to gas or get a lot of corrosion on it. There's some other signs there too. So I would say the 10.12 doesn't tell me that your battery's going to fail. No.
No. Oh, okay. A listener wants to know, is planning on getting some snow tires this year. When is the safe time to get those put on the car?
Now.
Right now.
As temperatures drop, you know, we get into the late October, November is a good time. You know, obviously, we're looking for snow, but it's a lot about the road temperatures and the pavement, the ambient temperatures. The cooler temperatures are easier on that softer rubber compound, so we don't see them wearing as quickly. So it's also a very short window. There's a set number of those winter tires that have become available. They're available now, but you go too long and then all of a sudden the size and the fitment that you need is not available. So if it's something you're thinking on, I would probably start planning that and getting going forward with that.
And I keep thinking myself too, so some year I'm going to get that those put on my car as well. But I'm concerned that, you know, if we have a warmer than average winter and you're doing some highway driving, that's kind of tough on those tires, isn't it?
You know, we've had customers, you know, finicky people from time to time, they run them year-round, right? And they just like the way it rides and feels because it's a really soft, comfortable ride. But they wear fast, you know, and it's not, you know, the late fall or spring, I don't think those temperatures, you know, if it's a mild winter, if it's 30s and 40s, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking 70s and 80s where the pavement gets really warm up near 100 degrees. That's hard on those tires. So I think you get to late fall and you can get through late spring, you'll be just fine. So I wouldn't, okay. You know, anytime going forward and up and through probably April, you're probably just fine.
Excellent. Nick, we have time for maybe one more text that just came in. Hi, guys. It says, I'm storing my son's car outdoors. It has sat outside most of the summer. I went to start it up and drive it, and the wheels are all locked up. Could that be rusted brakes? And if so, what do I do now?
Absolutely, it is rusted brakes. And I would say, you know, if it were me, I would maybe try again. I wouldn't put myself at risk. So don't, you know, if the brakes are not working, you can't stop. Bad idea. I would maybe try again, go up in the driveway. You know, I wouldn't leave my yard. And if you can get those wheels moving smoothly, brake pedal smoothly, maybe I go down the block a little bit and try to clean them up. If they're just locked up, you're going to have it towed. Someone's going to get the wheels off the car. Maybe if the brakes are still salvageable, clean and adjust everything. If they're that rusty, you're going to start buying some components, pads, rotors, maybe calipers. Just caution, if your brakes are not working, you cannot stop. So we all know that, but don't put you or someone at risk by getting out on the road like that. So I would, in my yard, in my driveway, see if things are working, have someone watch the wheels while you're doing this, and if it's just not going to break loose, then just stop and have it towed.
Yeah, safety issue big time. Nick, we have to run here. Again, folks who may need some help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. As you know, and I'll see you Tuesday at 982 Grand Avenue, corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. If you ever have a question, advice, anything like that, please don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website. A lot of information there for you. LloydsAutomotive.net.
And Nick, as we said earlier at the top of the show, it's going to be Halloween that day. I will be bringing treats and no tricks, okay?
Fair enough. I'll warn the boys.
All right, good. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thank you, Nick, and we'll talk to you next Saturday with another show. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Get ready for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Jack, of course, from Haskell's. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, taking your lawn and garden questions will be Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. That'll be in our Smart Garden Show. That's all straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back at it. We're talking car care on 830WCCO on this Saturday morning. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Happy Halloween, in case maybe I'm one of the first to wish you that. You guys are open.
We're getting close.
Yeah, and you guys, no tricks, no treats. Well, I don't know. Maybe you will. In fact, I think I'm due to come in there on Tuesday morning, by golly.
I did see you on the schedule, so we're looking forward to it. Maybe you'll bring some treats for the boys.
I was just going to say I'll have to bring some treats, no doubt. Yes, yes, indeed, and I'll do that. Speaking of, I wasn't speaking of family, but let's do that. I got a call this past week. My granddaughter, who attends St. Thomas, not too far from you guys at Lloyd's, and said her vehicle stopped. It just wouldn't go. Wouldn't go anymore. And I thought, I wonder how often she maintains that correctly. But, of course, I think my whole family goes to Lloyd's Automotive. They know good stuff. But the point is, I wanted to bring up, evidently, what you guys, your crews, found, that there is a radiator issue. And that's something, you know, when you and I talk on these Saturday mornings, we don't hear a lot about radiators. Is that a relatively common problem with you, and your crews when customers come in? I never hear about that.
You know, it seems like, and I agree, like we used to do radiator hoses every couple of years, and with the advancements or enhancements of vehicles, we just don't see the same types of problems. Doesn't mean you can neglect those areas, but... You know, coolant has gotten so much better that, you know, it's every 100,000 miles, it's every 30,000 miles. The hoses don't swell up because they don't get contaminated like they used to. And even like with the radiator, you know, maintenance oftentimes, or lack of maintenance, can create problems, but not always. So I don't want to say she wasn't doing what she's supposed to be doing, but, those parts, any part, you know, it's a mechanical item, can fail.
Now, are radiators different? I mean, are there more plastic parts than compared to, you know, the years and years ago? What material are they made out of?
Well, if you go far enough back, you know, they were brass, you know, and you used to be able to solder to repair them. Well, now, for the most part, or actually I should say all of them, typically it's a plastic tank. You know, the sides of the tops of the tanks are plastic, but the core is still aluminum because it has to transfer the heat. So it still has, you know, it's a radiator, so it's supposed to dissipate heat, and that's what the aluminum core does, and then the plastic tanks, which allows to circulate the coolant. Most often when we have a problem with the radiator, it's where those parts come together, those seals, with our extreme temperatures, those seals will deteriorate and create a leak.
All right. Well, I'm glad she knew who to call. I mean, besides me, Lloyd's Automotive.
I'm glad you knew who to call.
Yes, exactly. If you have any kind of a issue with your car, your truck, your van, Nick is here to help you. He'll do a little analysis over the radio before you bring your vehicle in for service at your favorite dealer or your favorite shop. It's always good to be armed with information. More is better than less. So call Nick or text Nick, whichever is easier, with your car, any kind of a car care question you may have. But don't wait. Nick leaves us about 7:45 this morning. So if you have a question, by all means, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Here's an interesting question that came in earlier, Nick. Mark said, great show. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you listening. As far as maintenance, Nick says, Mark says, could Nick explain here's something to chew on. The advantages and disadvantages of an electric car versus gas.
Well, you don't have to go to the gas station. However, it takes longer to refill. That technology is making its way. We talk about it a lot. It's in the news a lot. And it'll happen. You know, it's a process. Maybe not as fast as some folks want and not long enough for others, but it's a technology that's out there. I'm a big fan of like the plug-in hybrid. I think if you can plug your vehicle into a 110 outlet, which we already all have, charge it overnight. If you have a short commute for work, you can make it to work. If you want to head up to the lake place or for a long weekend, charge it overnight. If you have a short commute for work, you can make it to work. If you want to head up to the lake place or for a long weekend, you have that hybrid capacity, so you get that long range. You don't have to worry about trying to find a place to charge it. That's just my opinion, but the electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles aren't very different. You know, obviously it's technology that will advance with time, and, you know, we'll be ready for it. I'm excited about it. Anything that's different and new always kind of gets me excited. So I wouldn't worry. I would just kind of enjoy the process, and when they become more mainstay, they will, and we'll be ready for it.
And there's going to be a lot of internal combustion engines still around for many years to come. So you'll be working on those old vehicles for a while here, I think. I know we're going to have to take a break here momentarily. Let's grab another one here. 2013 Toyota. I'm reading a text. Toyota Camry Hybrid. Speaking of hybrids, it's a 2013. 106,000 miles on it. Can you tell me how many miles or years drive batteries typically last? Another electric question. I was looking at the cost of some of the replacement of these electric car batteries. Oh, my goodness. Expensive. But what? How long do usually the hybrid batteries last? Have you ever heard?
Well, we do. We replace them. You know, I think, and not every case, you know, there's a range here. It probably depends on your driving style, where the vehicle's parked and how it's maintained. Like everything, you know. How long is a refrigerator or a furnace or all these things going to last? But how well do you take care of it? So, but typically, I would say and some of the hybrid batteries, it gets a dozen years, 15 years, we start replacing them. They can be costly, several thousand dollars. I know the electric car stuff, which is much new, is much more expensive. But with time and enhancements and technology, prices tend to come down as things advance. So I don't want to get people too held up about, you know, buying an electric car, buying a hybrid, and worrying about replacing the battery. They're very reliable. You know, there's a lot of hybrids on the road. And like I said, we do replace batteries from time to time. And it can be costly. But I would anticipate a 15-year life cycle, in my opinion, in our world, that region we live in, seems pretty typical.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good length of time. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. You can use that number to call in or text in. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO, 29 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back at it with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician right there at Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, for those folks outside of my granddaughter who knows where you're located, folks that need your help, how do we find you at Lloyd's?
Yeah, we're, as you know very well, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. It's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. So if you're ever in the neighborhood, swing by, say hi. If you ever have a question, need some advice, please feel free to call 651-228-1316. And finally, I'd appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226, for any kind of a car care question you may have. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Pete calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Thanks, Pete. What is your question for Nick?
Thank you, Denny. Say, Nick, my wife's got a 7-year-old Town and Country wagon, your van, Chrysler van. It's got 120,000 miles on it, so I called the dealer that we bought it through, and their plan was to simply drop the plug on the pan and drain, you know, those 3 or 4 quarts, put the plug back in and top it off. And I said, you don't flush them? And he said, no, I wouldn't recommend it. Apparently. And I remember Paul Brand, if you remember Paul Brand, you used to do Car Talk on a different station. He said that sometimes you can disturb things by flushing them. Do you have any opinions on that matter? If you think that it would be all right to just refresh it by dropping the plug and topping it off, or do you think that a person should go through the whole procedure?
So there's, depending on the transmission, 3 ways you can service them. A drain and fill, as they were recommending. A flush, which is where you hook up some piece of equipment that'll exchange all the fluid. And then the final option, in some cases, you can remove the pan, replace the filter, which oftentimes is a screen, reinstall and refill. I will tell you it's very common now in later model vehicles that we do a drain and fill. And I think it's a fine service. The interval is a little more often because obviously you're not exchanging all the fluid. It's, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 quarts of fluid, and the capacity could be from 8 to 12. So you're maybe getting a third to half the fluid out, but it's deemed sufficient. I personally have never had any experience where we've created a problem by doing a flush. However, I've heard horror stories happen. So I can't say this situation you're at risk or not at risk. You know, if the dealership is recommending a certain service, you know, the manufacturer's done the research, I would follow what the manufacturer recommends, the interval they recommend, and I think you'll be just fine.
All right, good. Thank you, Pete, for the question. This listener sent a text to Nick, says, can you comment about car batteries? I am pricing batteries and I'm told it is a 3-year battery. Is there such a thing as a 5-year battery?
So there are different warranties and different quality batteries. As we talk oftentimes, Denny, price is typically a reflection of quality. I will say that the batteries that we sell are a 5-year battery. I will say that the demand on the battery more now than ever with all the electronics and modules in the vehicle. I will also share that there's a couple makes and models where we honestly replace batteries 3 years, which does seem normal, but it's become normal. But there's other vehicles, other types, maybe go 6-7 years. So the battery game has changed. We live in Minnesota. We go from sub-zero. We can reach 100 degrees. Spending those extra few dollars on a higher quality battery does make a difference, does give you that long life cycle, less likely to have a problem with the dead of winter. So they're expensive. You know, with the inflation we've had in the last year or two, batteries are one of those areas that prices have really skyrocketed, and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So my advice is you get a good quality battery that'll give you the longest life and the least amount of problems.
Absolutely. I know you guys there at Lloyd sell some really good ones, too. I've had some great experience with those in multiple cars. Nick, here's another text that says they have a 2010 RAV4. The technician said, I may want to replace a rear axle that's leaking a little. Texter said, I'd like to know how soon should I replace it. It costs about $600. Millie says, do you think I could wait on that? How dangerous is this, I guess they want to know.
So, you know, a drive axle on rear, I'm guessing that maybe there's a little grease leaking from the boot. That's not concerning. The other piece that you need to look at is as cars age, we get more corrosion, a little more rust underneath. They need to carefully assess the condition of the suspension components that need to come apart to replace that axle. If that stuff has gotten quite crusty and rusty, it may not be worth the efforts to try to replace an axle where a boot's leaking a little bit. Now, if that boot is ruptured and all the grease is left that axle, well, at that point, it's a different conversation, and then you just have to be prepared for maybe a $600 job, or they get into it and they come to find that there's going to be more problems and the price could go up. So I would maybe follow up, ask the current condition, the timeline, and you can get a few more years or miles out of it before you have to go down that road.
Okay. Texter wants to know, do you replace shock absorbers these days a lot?
We absolutely do. And if you want to make your car ride new again, the two things, in my opinion, is the fresh set of tires and shocks and struts. It's one of those things that we don't really notice deteriorating because it's a very slow process over years. But I'm putting, you know, my truck's 10 years old, and I'm replacing the shocks on my truck this fall because the ride has just gotten really, really lumpy. So I'm like, you know, fresh out of socks, and it's new again, so I don't have to look at my new truck soon. But I would say absolutely, when they're in the fall or the spring, they can see how they bounce or how they joust. They can look to see if there's any fluid leaking from them. But it's one of those things that really makes a world of difference. Because you just don't see it deteriorating on you.
Yeah, interesting question. All right, Nick, we're going to take a quick break, have a look at that CCO forecast, and we'll have a few more minutes of the show. Nick will take his leave about 7:45. Here is our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. On this Saturday morning, 28th of October, Weather straight ahead here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. As usual, Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions for a few more minutes this morning. And we have some for you, Nick. Let's see. This texter says, my TPMS light, you can explain what that is, comes on occasionally. Sometimes when the tires are cold, sometimes when the tires are warm, usually the light goes off the next drive. The problem seemed to start after filling low tires with air, got a good little water in one tire from condensation in the airline. What should I do, texter says, about that?
Well, this time of the year, we see a lot of TPMS, which is the tire pressure monitoring system that all cars are equipped with. It's important because we just don't remember to check our tire pressures anymore. So having that system in place to make sure the tires are inflated is very important. If the light is on and then you have to drive a bit, it seems to go out, likely because the tire pressures are just on the cusp of the setting to flip the light on. So as the temperatures cool, the pressures will adjust just slightly. It's only a couple pounds. And we'll see that light coming on. After you drive, the tires heat up, the pressure increases, and the light goes out. So I would tell this texter or anyone listening, you know, next time you're in for service fall, make sure they top off those tires. You know, we joke about summer and winter air, but there is a little bit of truth to it, where in the winter, the pressure will adjust a little bit and drop, and sometimes you get a finicky system going. So a couple pounds of pressure in each tire make a world of difference and make that light stay up.
Okay. A listener says, what is the recommended lowest percentage before a person gets their oil changed on a newer vehicle? Percentage, is that just something that comes up on the dash in form of a percent, or what are they asking about it?
So some manufacturers will use a percentage to kind of give you a heads up that you're getting close to that interval. Sometimes it depends on driving conditions and habits. My opinion still stands true. Based on what we see every day on a good synthetic oil change, which is pretty much every newer vehicle, 5,000 miles. I know there's some manufacturers that will tell you a little bit longer or differently, and, you know, it's your vehicle. Follow the advice that you want. But we see enough mechanical issues from the lack of oil changes that can be very costly. So I think the 5,000-mile interval, a couple of things, it's fresh, good oil and filter on the vehicle. And with our roads and our climate, we get a good look underneath to make sure things are still in good working order.
I remember a vehicle I had several years ago. You guys kind of educated me, as you usually do. I looked all over for it, and I couldn't. It did not have a dipstick. I thought, oh, I don't like this at all. I mean, and there are some vehicles, right, that don't have dipsticks to check the oil.
Absolutely true. There's more as technology evolves and cars get more capable, the cars are going to know more tire pressures, oil levels, just like, you know, we have a gas gauge. But I'm like you. I kind of like to have the dipstick this every so often. I can see with my own two eyes that we're good. And, you know, the oil's clean. How does it look? You know, just a little more touch feel is my approach. But the world has changed. And it's fine. You know, those things work just fine. We see them every day, and we fill oil. We adjust those and reset systems, and they work just as well.
Yeah, I guess if you change the oil regularly, you know, you're good on maintenance. Why not? Texter says, let's see, do we have time? Yes, we do. I bought a used Toyota, Texter says. Battery could be 4 to 5 years old. I had the battery checked. The volts are 10.12. Does 10.12 say my car's battery is still good?
Well, that is a load test. You know, when you put a load on the battery, that voltage goes down and the reading of the amperage would come up. At a standstill or a state or a static test, where you just put a voltmeter on a battery, a fully charged battery is over 12.6 volts, and that's, you need to know that, just a little information. But when we test the battery, you want to see around that, you know, over 10 volts and a couple hundred amps would be sufficient. You know, you can look at the condition, the visual inspection of the battery, if it's starting to gas or gets a lot of corrosion on it. There's some other signs there, too. So I would say the 10.12 doesn't tell me that your battery's going to fail, no.
No, okay. A listener wants to know, is planning on getting some snow tires this year. When is the safe time to get those put on the car?
Now.
Right now.
As temperatures drop, you know, we get into the late October, November is a good time. You know, obviously, we're looking for snow, but it's a lot about the road temperatures and the pavement, the ambient temperatures. The cooler temperatures are easier on that softer rubber compound, so we don't see them wearing as quickly. So it's also a very short window. There's a set number of those winter tires that become available. They're available now, but you go too long and then all of a sudden the size and the fitment that you need is not available. So if it's something you're thinking on, I would probably start planning that and getting going forward with that.
And I keep thinking myself too, so some year I'm going to get that those put on my car as well. But I'm concerned that, you know, if we have a warmer than average winter and you're doing some highway driving, that's kind of tough on those tires, isn't it?
You know, we've had customers, you know, finicky people from time to time, they run them year-round, right? And they just like the way it rides and feels because it's a really soft, comfortable ride. But they wear fast, you know, and it's not, you know, the late fall or spring, I don't think those temperatures, you know, if it's a mild winter, if it's 30s and 40s, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking 70s and 80s where the pavement gets really warm up near 100 degrees. That's hard on those tires. So I think you get to late fall and you can get through late spring, you'll be just fine. So I wouldn't, okay. You know, anytime going forward and up and through probably April, you're probably just fine.
Excellent. Nick, we have time for maybe one more text that just came in. Hi, guys. It says, I'm storing my son's car outdoors. It has sat outside most of the summer. I went to start it up and drive it, and the wheels are all locked up. Could that be rusted brakes? And if so, what do I do now?
Absolutely, it is rusted brakes. And I would say, you know, if it were me, I would maybe try again. I wouldn't put myself at risk. So don't, you know, if the brakes are not working, you can't stop. Bad idea. I would maybe try again, go up in the driveway. You know, I wouldn't leave my yard. And if you can get those wheels moving smoothly, brake pedal smoothly, maybe I go down the block a little bit and try to clean them up. If they're just locked up, you're going to have it towed. Someone's going to get the wheels off the car. Maybe if the brakes are still salvageable, clean and adjust everything. If they're that rusty, you're going to start buying some components, pads, rotors, maybe calipers. Just caution, if your brakes are not working, you cannot stop. So we all know that, but don't put you or someone at risk by getting out on the road like that. So I would, in my yard, in my driveway, see if things are working, have someone watch the wheels while you're doing this, and if it's just not going to break loose, then just stop and have it towed.
Yeah, safety issue big time. Nick, we have to run here. Again, folks who may need some help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. As you know, and I'll see you Tuesday at 982 Grand Avenue, corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. If you ever have a question, advice, anything like that, please don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website. A lot of information there for you. LloydsAutomotive.net.
And Nick, as we said earlier at the top of the show, it's going to be Halloween that day. I will be bringing treats and no tricks, okay?
Fair enough. I'll warn the boys.
All right, good. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thank you, Nick, and we'll talk to you next Saturday with another show. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Get ready for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Jack, of course, from Haskell's. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, taking your lawn and garden questions will be Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. That'll be in our Smart Garden Show. That's all straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.